All right. Welcome, everyone, to another weekly team, REI Vault team huddle call. Today is Tuesday, March 31st, 2015. Welcome to the call. Chris, how are you?
I am doing great. Any day above ground is a great day, so today qualified. So I hope that tomorrow will be the same, but everything is good.
Excellent. Well, good stuff. Welcome, everybody. This is a call that we have weekly, and it's an opportunity to ask questions. We do mute everybody out at some point. We may unmute everyone, and depending upon how the call goes, we ask that if you have questions, don't be shy. You can press star 5, which puts up your hand, and Chris and I can see that you have a question. We'll bring you onto the call. And we just ask, if you have a question, instead of giving us the backstory, just give us the question and then of what you have, try to be as specific as possible. There really, it can be on a real estate deal. It can be on something related to Podio, something you're struggling with, whatever it might be. Just ask freely. We'll do our very best to give you our perspective. These calls are typically less than an hour. And the way it works is if there's no more questions, we end the call. These calls are recorded, and we do have a team that's transcribing these calls and identifying the minute markers, so you can use the training site at reivault.com. Once you log in, and you can type in search, and you can search for the topics. The last 12 months or 14 months have been recorded, and we try to make these things meaningful. A couple of little notes. If you ever have a technical question of any sort, please don't email directly to Chris or myself. We have a system, and we've got a team that really is managing all of the questions. So if you have something that's technical in nature, related to Podio, related to either increasing or decreasing your budget or making a change request to your marketing, always email support@salesteamlive.com. If it's deal related, something specific to a deal, email dealhelp@reivault.com. Be as specific as possible to the question, and if you can, put the link of the Podio lead, the URL of that specific lead, into your email that you send, so that we can, not have to have the back and forth. We ask for 24 hours for any change request. We're trying to answer in 24 minutes. But we do ask for 24 hours, and our team is growing, and we've made quite a bit of changes. Real quickly, on these calls, usually Chris and I will spend a few minutes just on some updates, and then we'll open up the call. At any point in time, you can press star 5 to raise your hand, and then we can start answering questions for you. A lot of new changes coming right around the corner. We've got a lot of enhancements to Podio, and our goal is to be able to have upgrades and rollouts on a regular basis. We're working on some things, and I'm going to ask for those of you that are on the call today, or if you're listening to this recording, love your suggestions. Everything that we do is based on suggestions. You can email suggestionbox@reivault.com. But we added text messaging. If you don't have the text messaging capability, you can email the support@salesteamlive.com. Most of you have been upgraded automatically, where when the lead comes in, if the call duration is less than 20 seconds, it's automatically identified as a hang-up, and we automatically text message the seller. And there's capability now to actually text in and out to sellers right out of Podio, and that training is available. Chris has redone all of the training for Podio, and if you have not, if you've been with REI Vault for a while and you haven't not gone back to the training or to the REI Vault site, I would go back and watch the videos. There's probably about, I don't know, maybe 12 videos, specifically Podio seller training, how the lead statuses work, and what the VAs do, and it has been upgraded. I would go back through the training. It will probably be meaningful. We've had good feedback. We are working to add some additional features here in the next couple of weeks, and if you want to be on the early release, I'm going to give you in a moment how to be on the early release. But what we're doing is when the VA transcribes the message from the seller and we're able to capture a property address, we are setting up the system to automatically, instantly take that property address and go pull the Google Street View and the map automatically. We're also going to be bringing back a whole bunch of additional value information. Some of it may be relevant in your market, some may not be relevant, but it'll automatically go out and pull the Zillow estimated value. It'll pull the Zillow estimated rental value. It'll pull the Trilio heat map and the Zillow link, so instantaneously. And that's been based on some feedback, and we're going to continue to enhance Podia. We're working on a whole bunch of stuff right now that we'll be rolling out. And so if you want to be on the early release on some of these things, specifically around being able to pull all the Trilio and the Zillow information, you can send an email to support@salesteamlive.com. And in the subject, just say, please add me to the beta for Zillow. That would probably be the best way to do it. Our team will just identify those so we can get you up and running sooner rather than later. For everybody else, we got about 150 people in the group right now, and we're going to coordinate the upgrade. But for those of you that want it sooner rather than later, we'd use it as an opportunity to get feedback. You're going to have a little less organized training on it. It'll be a training video for me, but it'll get you up and running, and we can do that in the next week and a half for some of you, 2 weeks. Let's see. Chris, do you have any other feedback updates you want to add?
You stole my thunder. Every single item I was going to mention, you talked about. The only one item that I have on my list, actually, is I did upgrade the training. I wanted to just point to under the additional training section in the membership area, there is a section category called Optimizing Your Sales Force. And I recently recorded a call with Steve, our person acquisitions manager in the South Florida area. Myself and one of our other clients, and we discussed how the dynamics work between the acquisitions person and the virtual assistant that we have that's helping the acquisitions person. And we covered a lot of things that I think would be very beneficial to anyone, even if you don't have an acquisitions person, if you're handling the calls yourself, just to, you know, do better, with regards to your leads. And so if you click on the, section under additional training called Optimizing Your Sales Force, and there's two trainings, and then there's one that is refers to the acquisitions manager and virtual assistant working together. So listen to that. I thought it was a good call, and it was just a call where we got on the call with a client, kind of going back and forth, answering questions, giving some input, but I think it'd be beneficial for everyone. But that was the most recent one I uploaded last night to the training site.
Awesome. Good stuff. And do you have any recommendations, suggestions, ideas on what you need or things that you'd like to see as improvement for us all to be making more money? Email suggestion box at reivault.com. I will tell you some things that are on the horizon that we're working on right now, working on new different types of marketing campaigns, things around probate, divorce, eviction, vacant. Just additional ways to target properties, different types of marketing lists. We're working on some capabilities. There's a small focus group right now. Steve Carlson and obviously Gabe, you're on the call, and Percy, a handful of you. We're working on, we've got the direct mail pre-sale offer and follow-up campaigns, and the feedback has come in on it would be really great to be able to have email campaigns as well. If we've got the email of the seller, if with a click of a button, it would be great to be able to send them a electronic offer and series of follow-up emails. And that came up, being able to do voice broadcasting as a campaign, text messaging as a campaign. The deal dashboard, where we can get metrics, we're working on that as well. The deal dashboard meaning when you log into Podio and also daily, weekly, and monthly emails on exactly how the performance of all of your marketing against your deals are working, down to things like what's the cost per lead, what's the cost per viable lead, what's the profit per deal, what's the cost per deal, and the call volume, so you can actually start seeing all the return on investment. We're working on that. It's actually a pretty extraordinary effort. We've got some third-party consulting people that are helping us to do this. But I don't know anybody that really has anything like it, but I would love feedback if any of you have specific types of metrics that you think would be really helpful. You can email suggestionbox@reivault.com as to what you would like and what would be really helpful, because you know, we're stronger as a group. Chris and I don't want to be the smartest guys in the shed trying to figure everything out. We know that with all of us in this group, we can get a lot more done faster. So suggestionbox@reivault.com. We are going to be working on a survey that we'll be sending out probably in the next couple of weeks, asking for more feedback and what's working and what else you want. As we're getting bigger with the group, we're building up our R&D budget so that we can get more stuff done faster with third parties. A lot of you have heard the term Globiflow. Globiflow is a tool behind Podio, and we actually hired them, including their CEO, to actually help build stuff faster. And we are, as what I did hear from Globiflow, is we're their largest client. I think we've got up to 100,000 workflows with them right now. And so that's good. I think the fact that as a group we've got visibility and we can get stuff built so that we have more of a competitive advantage against any of our competition out there. And so that's where we're heading. All right. With that, Chris, anything else? We can open up.
That's
if you've got a question, you can press *5, and we'll do our very best to answer your question. *5 if you got a question. All right, here's our first one. This is a 415 area code. 415, you are live. 415-828.
Hi, guys. It's Ken Gandeman calling from San Francisco. How are you?
Good. How about you?
How are you?
We're doing good, thanks. just wanted to jump in as I, we're only in week two with the REI Vault. And so a lot of learning going on right now. One of the areas that I'd like a little bit of clarity on, I got three different scenarios right now from seller leads that have come in. And what, in your opinion, you'd be doing under these circumstances and what you would do in terms of what you should put them as a status. So let me give you an example. So a message came in, basically said, that they're not interested at the moment, but they're going to keep our card for the future. So in that scenario, what would you indicate as a status, and what would you do?
Did you call them back?
Yes. Oh, yeah, the conversations have been had. They're just not interested right now, but they are going to keep the card for the future. So what would you do at this point?
I'd put them on an in-house follow-up letter. So what I would do is identify, you're working on the lead. I would take the notes. So the first thing, if you had any conversation with the seller on that lead on the right-hand side, it says add a comment. I would document absolutely everything all the way down, especially as you start adding inside salespeople, right? This is the sales side of the business. So I would be documenting every interaction that you have. And then if they're not interested today, it doesn't mean they're not interested in a week or a month. So what I would do is I would go to the direct mail field that says send follow-up letters,
mm-hmm.
and I would decide whether you want to start sending that follow-up letter, tomorrow, or do you want to wait maybe a month or 60 days. And what you could do is you can click send SDL follow-up letter,
mm-hmm.
and then there's a date right below it. There's a field that says SDL follow-up letter begins. You can click on that, a little calendar will pop up, and you can actually select the date. So it might be 30 days, 60 days. What that does is that will take them off the postcard, and it'll put them on a follow-up letter that's going to average, I know you're in Northern California, that's going to probably average about 25% response rate per mailing.
Okay.
And by the way, the house I'm in Danville, Ken, it came off
yeah.
the lady who said, please remove me from the mailing. And
mm-hmm.
I bought her house because 2 months later she called me off of that same letter, exact word for word, and I bought her house. I was driving down the
follow-up letter.
I was driving down the freeway. Chris has heard the story a million times. I'm driving down the freeway. I'm heading one direction, and she calls me, and she said, how soon could I be over? And I said, would 5 minutes be too long? By the way, I got blindsided because when I actually showed up with my contracts to purchase the house, it was the most experienced real estate agent in the entire area, and tore my contracts to shame. I was using a Lou Brown, you know, his buyer friendly contract, and I picked up the house with about $250,000 worth of equity in it. So it does work.
Right.
That's what I would do. I'd call if you have the ability, especially you're in California, more competitive market. I'd call everybody, including the angry people.
Oh, we do, and there are a lot of angry people, but, you know, surprisingly enough, we're week two into the campaign, and, you know, they're warm leads at this point, and there's four properties that people are kind of batting around, which is
yeah.
mind-blowing after 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Let me go to the second scenario.
Me, by the way, Ken, you're fairly new to the group, and this goes for everybody,
mm-hmm.
but Chris says it's the best. Don't assume anything with these sellers just because I say three or five no's equal a yes. And sometimes you can get referrals. You know, this is cold marketing, right? We don't have a relationship. So
right.
Some of the angriest calls, okay? The lukewarm ones where they say, you know, take me off the mailing, you know, those aren't going to be as great a deal. But the super angry ones, there's usually a problem. And I call those people back. And I'm going to do this so that we can document this for the future. But you can call those people back. They're super angry. And set them at ease and just listen to them. And just say, gosh, I am so sorry. You know, let
mm-hmm.
me confirm your address. And, you know, and I am so sorry. We, you know, I just want to make sure. Was there anything specific about it? We use a marketing company.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we got a very reputable business. And if you ever, you know, once they unload, right, and they've emptied their cup, then you can kind of go into, gosh, if you ever know of anybody that would like to sell, you know, I'd love to, you know, give you pay for your gardening for 6 months or maybe donate to your favorite charity, right? You will
mm-hmm.
convert deals that way. I made a deal in Morgan Hill, $280,000. This is years ago, but a guy that was crazy, crazy angry, pissed off, and he had a $1 million lien. His wife was in jail. He had a $1 million lien against two properties, a crazy amount of equity, and I got
mm-hmm.
the lien released for $41,000
back. Oh, wow.
Okay? So usually angry means there's some problem, and a lot of these properties are inherited properties, so
yep.
they may feel like a family member has put you up to sending them a little note to try to
oh, my
the
Lord.
Property. That happens a lot.
Oh, my Lord. All right, that's a good point. That's a good point. Let me just go back to one technical thing. So if I heard you right, if you hit the STL follow-up letter, the postcard for that particular lead is shut off.
It's shut off, yeah. Takes them
okay,
for
perfect.
One campaign, takes them from
perfect.
One list to the next. By the way, automatically, the status, so you're gonna just click send follow-up letters and put a date. I'm
mm-hmm.
what you just told me, I'd put it out 60 days, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not, you know, give them a little bit of time. The
mm-hmm.
system will automatically change the status to follow-up, okay? Automatically.
Got it.
So you
Got
don't
it.
Do any extra steps.
Okay. Okay, perfect. Let me give you the next scenario. This one, lady of the duplex, and she basically said, you know, a lot of elderly folks are calling in, but she said basically you have no intention of selling right now. She's very cordial, very polite, and that basically her son will inherit the property. What are you going to do with status on that?
So the house isn't for sale. The son's going to inherit the property down the road.
Yep.
I mean, if it were, mean, I don't know. If it were me, I'd probably put them on a follow-up letter. I'd put everything on a follow-up letter. Chris would actually continue mailing them until, you know, until he wasn't doing real estate investing.
Well, I guess my question on that, can you guys hear me or no?
My question on that is
the follow-up letter, the campaign runs, I forget, Gary, how long does the campaign run again?
Yeah, the follow-up letter sends 8 times on a monthly basis. So from the date that you either starts tomorrow, if you leave the STL follow-up letter begins blank, or you can push it out a year or 2 years or 6 months or whatever you would like. But I'd push it out. I'd keep mailing to them. You never know what's going to change, right?
You could do one or the other. What I typically do was a situation like that, I would normally mark it as dead in my system, but I would not take them off of the mailing, so they would continue to get postcards.
Technically, guys, then the only way to get somebody off is if you hit the remove from list on the status, and so dead does not remove them.
That's a great point. That's a great point, okay? Status doesn't change direct mail. VAs are based on the message, the transcription of the message. We've trained the VAs not to make business decisions. So they'll mark the message. If somebody says specifically to be removed from the list, then the VA will mark removed from list. All right. If your job to go in there in an orderly fashion from time to time, and I would look at those messages, sometimes you may even want to listen to the audio, right? But if you want to permanently remove them from the mailing, you have to go to the direct mail field and then click remove from STL mailing.
Oh.
I've had people that have said, well, why do you create the extra step? And the extra step is a VA is a grunt worker, right? And they're proficient, well-trained, and well-managed, but we don't want them making business decisions off of our mail. Every time the phone rings, it's costing us and it's costing you guys money, right? It could be $10 a call. It could be $50 a call. We don't really know depending upon the market. Probably like $8 to $10 a call. So let's get the work done by the VA. You should be, you know, we're only mailing typically every 60 days. So you can go to the remove from list, you know, once a week or, you know, once a day, and then, you know, go through them and then click remove from the STL mailing. As Chris said, he'd mark those as dead. You know, I'd follow up with them if it were me.
I see. Okay, that clarifies that point. That was a very good point, that status does not actually do anything to the direct mail side. So that's great to know. Last scenario I have for you right now is I had a lady that basically lives in a home. It's a large home. She has a second home that she is renting but is considering moving into it. And so basically, and they're free and clear. And so she basically yesterday was pretty gung-ho to sell and then had a follow-up conversation this morning. And basically she's kind of changed her mind because of tax consequences. So the rental property is a 1031 exchange. And so now she's kind of saying, well, what am I going to do with my $1 million or whatever it is? I'm not going to put it in the bank at 1%. I'm getting rent on it, et cetera, et cetera. What would you do on status for a scenario like that?
Well, if it were me, I love those types of deals, right? A lot of people, all they know how to do is make an all-cash offer. But if it were me, I'd basically ask her, I'd ask her how much rental, how much income she's getting. And then I would say, well, gosh, what if you were able to get, here in Northern California, let's say, what if you were able to get $2,500 a month and you only had to pay the capital gains on the money that you received, and then you could pass that down to your heirs, you know, down the road, and you wouldn't have the big tax benefit. And then you could actually buy it and have her be the bank and let her carry back a note, right? Zero interest. That's what I would do. I had a deal. This is in Berkeley, okay? The guy had he had a 4-unit, and he had the IRS. He's like, so I offered him full price, zero interest, and it was actually $4,000 a month. The thing had an income of about $8,000. All right? $4,000 a month, and he was ecstatic. He said, so I only have to pay the $4,000, because that was a big deal. He actually, his mom, who had Alzheimer's, And he basically said, I want to wait until my mom passes away because then I get the money tax-free as part of the estate. And I said, well, gosh, why don't we set it up where you basically, I'll pay you $4,000 a month, and you'll carry it back, and then once your mom dies, because she'll be the one carrying the note at the end of the, at some point when she's, no longer living, then I'll become part of the estate, and you can actually just sell the entire note, right?
So his tax exposure at the current time on an annual basis would be the rental income.
That's right.
Rather than the capital gains.
That's right.
Got it.
That's right.
And I like zero interest. A lot of people say, well, why zero interest? Why wouldn't you pay me 5%? I would say, well, gosh, I would be more than happy to pay you 5%. But wouldn't you rather have a higher purchase price at zero interest? Because if you're paying zero interest, then all of the money that you receive is at the lower income tax bracket, capital gains.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If she's receiving 5%, then she's going to be paying ordinary income at the highest tax bracket.
Sure.
That's an easy one to walk around. And Chris and I, down the road, we do have it planned for, a lot of people have asked, we've had suggestion box REI Vault where people have said, could you actually put together some training material? So we do have that on the roadmap of building additional materials. Because the hardest part of owner financing is not the structure, is actually how to communicate that to the seller. And
right.
we're gonna nail that, especially in this market. Cash offers are one thing, but if we could come in at a higher price, with more tools in our tool belt, make more money, right? When we
totally.
Do that.
Totally. No, that makes perfect sense.
All right. Any more questions, Ken?
No, that's it for now, guys. I'll turn it over to the rest of the crowd. Thank you.
All right. If you've got a question, go ahead and press *5. *5. Gabe, I'm going to put you on the hot seat. Do you have any questions?
He's probably muted.
Sorry, I was on mute all. No, at this point, I'm good to go. I'm just getting this system down. Really excited about what you guys have going on as far as, their different options and your automation stuff. It's looking really good.
Awesome. By the way, looks like, Gabe, Chris and I will most likely be coming out to Dallas at the end of April. So we'll come
okay.
to you and Percy. And also Steve Carlson will give you guys a heads up because I know that we want to put together a bit of a strategy session, and we'll probably extend it to other people that are going to be in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. I'm going to put you on mute again, Gabe. I think this is Justin. Justin in 604 area code, you're live.
Hey, guys. I'm wondering what are you guys doing specifically if the price that you need to buy the house at is the mortgage balance exceeds that price? Are you just marking them dead and removing them, or what are you guys doing in that scenario?
Is the seller willing to come in with money at closing?
That has happened to me once in my life. So most of the times, no, they're not. Most of the time, the answer is there's no way I can accept that. That's more than the mortgage balance is.
I can't remember who I was chatting with this week. It might have been Art or somebody. Somebody ended up picking up the deal, and the seller was coming in with $25,000 to close the deal. How far over leveraged is this?
I mean, this has been happening quite a bit. So it's been as little as $10,000. It's been as much as 70 or 80 grand.
A good loan on it. If it's current and it's a really good loan, you could pick it up subject to.
I explore that scenario. I'm specifically talking about if I know it's not subject to, are you guys just killing them and marking them as dead and removing them from the list?
We are.
Okay.
Chris?
That was it. That was my question. I didn't know what I was missing.
I mean, the question from me to them, the only question, the answer to that would be yes. With an asterisk, the only thing would be to asking them if the mortgage is current. You know, obviously, if they're behind on payments, if the foreclosure situation is over leveraged, then if you have a referral for someone that you can send them to, that's something different. But if they're really over leveraged tremendously, you know, then at that point, then it I would remove them from the list because, you know, even if they want to sell, they can't sell.
Okay.
I mean, the only other thing you can do, Justin, I mean, you know, our background, at least my background, doing short sales, I wouldn't do a short sale if my life depended on it. If I've done hundreds of them, and I'll never do them again, at least, you know, in my market. But, you know, you could possibly, you had a realtor already, you could flip it to a realtor for a marketing fee, right? You can't necessarily get a referral fee, but you could definitely charge them a marketing fee, you know, up to, you have to pick a number, but, you know, I typically like 20% of what the commission would be as a marketing fee. You can't do a percentage, but you could actually come up with a number and structure something. If you had a bunch of these types of deals, refer them to a realtor, and then in 6 years when they get a short sale accepted, maybe you'll get paid.
Right. Okay, cool.
Yeah,
that was
All right. All right, star five if you have a question. Star 5. I don't see. There's one. Gabe put up his hand again. All right, Gabe, you are live.
You there?
We are, yeah.
Thanks. Hey, quick question on pricing as far as analyzing the deals, and I haven't looked back in your any of your trainings lately. When you guys said you're going to put in an app here pretty soon, basically that's going to put the rental income pricing like that. What are you guys, just as a quick and dirty number, you know, above a Zillow comp or, you know, Zestimate, are you guys going 70%, 80%, or how deep are you digging into it for offer price?
Chico, you want to answer that or you want me to?
I'll answer that.
I know there's a lot of variables, but...
Well, I mean, is this a cash flow property?
It just on a general yes, on a wholesale deal.
Right, but I'm saying, so there's two types of wholesale deals, right? There's a cash flow ROI play where if you're buying, you know that the end investor is going to buy, somebody who's going to buy it for the intention of keeping it as a rental property. So that's one evaluation based on ROI. And then the other one, which is if you think that somebody's going to buy it and then fix it up and then resell it. So, you know, for me, I think, you know, for the ROI, we're always just, and it depends on the market and the area, but in general, like in South Florida, if we could pick something at a gross ROI of somewhere in the 20% range, or sometimes even as low as 18, then we'll try and shave a couple points off of that number in order to try to make our spread. Right? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. And that's the number you shave off. If you pick it up for 20, market it out there for 18% ROI, and you make the 2%.
Yeah. So, like, if a property is $800 a month times 12, and then say we're looking at that's $9,600. If we're looking to pick that up at say 22% ROI, that means that we'll pick it up at $43,636, right? Or $43,000,
mm-hmm.
right? But that same $800, so. If we're picking it up at 22% ROI and we're thinking, you know what, why don't we try to sell it at 19% ROI? So that's 800 times 12 divided by 19%, that's 50,000 in that example. So 22% ROI is 43, 19% ROI is 50,000. So we're trying to pick it up at 20, we try to sell it at 19% gross, right? So that's our spread in that example. And then if I'm looking at properties that somebody's going to buy to fix up and resell, then on those I'm more likely to look at the actual comps and see what the spreads are. You know, like in other words, if, you know, we're picking a deal up for 90, then theoretically I'd want to see sales in the 130s, you know. So I tend to, so maybe the 70% and calculating those numbers come into play when it's a fix and a flip where somebody's going to fix it up and then resell it to an end buyer. Whereas if it's just a rental, then it's going to be only ROI that we look at, generally.
Perfect. Okay. That works for me. Thank you.
And Dave,
yes, sir.
Going and adding to it the question around the value of websites like Zillow on the value or Zillow on the rental value, it's going to vary from county to county, state to state, all the way down to the zip code. And it's actually one of the reasons why we want to turn on, for all of us, the automatic pulling of that data, because it's going to be history, right? It's going to be based on you working for a while and starting to realize, is this Zillow thing? Can Zillow or the assessed value or Trulia or any of these numbers actually get you closer to the value? The goal is to actually know the value, where we need to be before we actually ever mail. That's where we want to head, right? Imagine if we actually had that calculation, and that's going to come. Chris and I already know. We've been working with Kent Clothier on this, who's a strategic advisor for us. But we know how to go get that data. And so the very first piece is plugging in the automation at a Podio to go pull some of the values. And then ultimately, we'll give it off in dollars per square feet for the areas. I know that square feet is a tough one in Texas. But if we know the square feet and we can actually figure out the value by zip code on average based on one of the metrics, right, whether it's assessed value, whether it's CoreLogic AVI or AVM calculation or Zillow or Trulia, if we can find that by zip code, then you'll know the number, right? We'll know where we'll know the cash buyers. We'll know what your competition is typically buying at, dollars per square foot. We'll know what the after repaired value is, and we'll know where you need to be. And so imagine if, you know, before you got on the phone with the seller, you really knew this is exactly where I needed to be, so there was no guesswork.
That's fantastic. Let's end this call early so you guys can get to work on that.
Yeah. One of the reasons why we're coming to Dallas, buddy. We're going to put you in the hot seat and give you a calculator and help us figure it out.
Good time. Well, I thought we were coming to Dallas for barbecue, but I guess we're going to get some work done.
Both.
Yeah.
Okay, what answer?
Sorry, Gabe. I muted you there. If you have a question, go ahead and press star 5. Don't be shy. Now what we're going to do, Chris, there we go, 225. I'm about ready to unmute the lines for everybody. Okay, so 225, area code, you are live.
Hey, guys, how y'all doing?
Joey, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Not too bad. I just got a quick question. We haven't really started the actual marketing yet. I got an email today from Ryan Joseph. He said that the data analysis that they've done, they weren't getting enough data to cover the budget from the zip codes and the criteria we provided. So he sent an email back and saying that we could use East Baton Rouge Parish, and they may be able to find enough data for it. He said that they had some criteria and everything, but we gave him multiple zip codes. So, and to also not East Baton Rouge, but also surrounding areas. Are y'all using that, or are they just going to do East Baton Rouge Parish? Because they got some pretty funky areas around here that we'd probably stay out of.
So this is Joey, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so I actually looked at your data yesterday. So a couple things. So I think that he got back to you with regards to the issue with specifying bedrooms and baths, right?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Yeah, he did. Okay. So I think I have to look at it. I have to look at the ticket, but I think you gave us a certain budget. So what we did is that we looked at all the zip codes you gave us, and then we did the best we could on the data, but then it's still fell short of the budget. So the way we look at it is, so we have a certain amount of prospects, right? So let's say you pick a zip code, and we have a certain amount of prospects that we feel are the best prospects to go after. And let's say hypothetically that you told us, an example,
you gave us one zip code and you say, I'm going to spend $2,000 a month just on that zip code. So now let's say that we went and did our analysis and we found that, you know, based on our number, on kind of the way we do things, you know, we only have enough records that you could mail 1,000. So we're not going to try and fill, we're not going to try to fill that bucket with a bunch of names that we don't think that are going to be fruitful just because we want to meet your budget. So in other words, in those zip codes you gave us, we did the best we could to extract as many names as we could, but now we're still short of the total amount of money that you said, hey, I'm willing to spend. So at that point then, if you want us to go and try to hit that budget, we would need more areas, because in the areas that you gave us initially, that's all we feel comfortable in mailing for you based on our assumptions about what will work and what won't work. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
I got an email back. He said they can cover the 550 plus the budget per month with the new criteria that they have. So, I mean, I guess we'll just – we haven't started it yet, so I guess we'll just kind of try it out and see what works, and we can amend it if we need to with more areas.
Yeah, we can amend it if we wanted to, just in that area, you know, in area, you know, some of the, in those, you know, that area has always been kind of funky. There's a lot of data, you know, the data is not as good, so we have to kind of do a lot of massaging with it. But, you know, we'll only stretch it so much, because we don't want to just fill up your bucket with sellers just because you have a bucket and you said, hey, I want to fill it. We're going to say, hey, you know, here's what we feel comfortable with, and at that point we can always iterate, so we can always change or add or, you know, get your input, and you can come back and say, hey, that was great, or, you know what we could change, I don't like these type of properties, et cetera. We can always try to filter those out. So it's a more of a iteration process to try to, you know, give us the best chance possible to get your results.
Okay, that works for me.
Okay, perfect.
Thank y'all.
Hey, no problem.
Got a question? Star 5. I don't see any more questions, Chris, so we may be cutting the call a little short today. I'll give it one more time. If you have a question, star 5. Be shy. All right, Chris, you want to close?
All right, well, as always, guys, although we have this call here that we provide you with updates and answer questions, we're always available to you. So whenever you send an email to deal, always better, just to reiterate, you know, we have a lot of people on the team. I think we're definitely over 20 at this stage with everybody involved. And there's a lot of people, there's a lot of eyeballs whenever you send us a ticket. And so I want to stress that whenever you need any help, the best thing is always to send to support or to deal help, because that guarantees that you're going to get the best response in the shortest period of time, because multiple people will see that. And so that, you know, we can make sure we attend to whatever issues, challenges, any help you need. And so I would just stress that, you know, support it, salesteamlabs.com, and also dealhelp@reiball.com, the latter being the one that if you want advice on a particular deal or situation or circumstances, you'd reach us at. And again, so we're always available to you on that. And we're excited. We're working in the background, like Gary said, on bringing in some new capabilities to all of us and to help us do better. And we're really excited about some of these things we're rolling out. And, you know, we're here all together trying to continue to do better in this market, and so that everybody can have a great business. So appreciate everybody being on the call. And with that, I think we will end the call. But, again, if you need anything, just shoot us an email, and we'll get you the help you need ASAP.
Yeah, and last reminder, make sure you go out and check out the new training for Podio. It would definitely be relevant. It's all re-recorded. It's on the training site, reivault.com. And the section specifically that I'd make sure you look at under Podio Seller Module, there's a little area that says Extra, Lead Status Reference Guide. And Chris, put some notes as to what each of the lead status represents. And right above that, it says primary and secondary lead statuses. And there's a couple of very short videos. You could probably go through that in 5 to 7 minutes and just get acclimated. It's going to be super important. These statuses are going to be really important, especially when we get the new deal dashboard up and running, because if you're not working the system properly, then the metrics are not going to be relevant and accurate. So I'll definitely go back and check that out. Let's see. Chris, I will not be on the call next week. I think it'll probably just be you, but we'll all see
okay.
you guys in 2 weeks. And for everybody else, have a great week. Talk to you in April. Take care.
Talk to you guys soon.